don't tell me I cannot do it. Living in the here and now, I am a risk taker. I am just lucky to be alive. So to me, life is an amazing journey, and every opportunity, I just like, okay, what can I do? How can I play?
Hey, everyone. So the last part of what she was talking about, what can I do? How can I play? Now, that's a voice of determination, a voice of fortitude, the voice of this week's Next Gen Entrepreneur, Erica Miller. Now, at Smart New Income, our mission is all about the amazing achievements of ordinary people so folks like us can learn a thing or two. So you have to cut us a little bit of slack on this one, because I think you'll agree Erica Miller is anything but ordinary, but what I learned talking to her was amazing. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
This is the Smart New Income Next Gen Entrepreneur Podcast with Andy Asher.
Erica's background and unfolding achievements are nothing short of unbelievable. She's a mega successful entrepreneur, businesswoman, and author. Erica, thank you. And there's so many places to begin, so rather than looking for that pinpoint perfect place, we'll just watch your story unfold here on Smart New Income. Now, we got a glimpse of your determination at the top of the show. I'm sure there are a lot of other driving forces, like what you just said, that have helped shape your achievements. Uh-huh. Now, despite your resolve, Erica, isn't it not true that with success comes failure? You might say it's...
Stopping you, Andy. To me, there's no failure. To me, the concept of failure is the feeble-minded imagination of you cannot do it. There's a challenges. And when you ask successful people, define success, some things work out and some things don't. And so by me not having the concept of failure, I pick myself up, I try something, and if it doesn't work out, I move on. One door closes, one door opens. So that is that kind of mentality of a risk taker, which I'm one, and I inspire other people not to be so worried, because again, it's like we could go this way or that way. Without taking risk, without having visions, one is pretty much just stay put in a place. What a shame.
Eric, I hear what you're saying, but on the same token, everybody has some risk aversion. Now, we might say from one side, a Las Vegas gambler, maybe they don't have much aversion to risk. A elementary school teacher, a lot higher. See my point?
You have to have a vision. And then one needs to introspect, meaning, okay, am I able to do it? Do I want to do it? What's the risk? And not everybody is introspective. And then we're not alone in it. We need to have the facts. We hopefully have a support system. We hopefully know to reach out and to find all the information. And then, again, it has to be realistic, based on assessment of the individual. And more people are scared and they don't try something. So encouragement, so when I say that it's one of my purposes, it's like when I lecture in front of young people, go for it. Your parents mean well, but they want you to be an engineer. You want to be an entrepreneur, whatever, it's not secure. Go for it. It's your chance. So it's complex. Everybody is not a risk taker, just the opposite, because there are challenges. We're speaking about self-esteem, messages from the past. If you have a mother, you can do anything you want vis-a-vis, don't try, you will fail. So it's like it takes, in the traits we have, it takes a number of things for those people that actually, they take risks, and then you hear about them, because never mind Trump, but he comes to my mind vis-a-vis, but it's possible, but for some people. And, you know, we're not all the same, and not we don't have the drive and the ambition like everybody else. So it depends. But first, we have to have a vision. And then, okay, in order to get there, what are the steps I need to do? And let me have a conversation with Uncle Johnny or somebody.
So, Erica, we know you have a couple of businesses, pretty significant ones. We know that you have a couple of books at Amazon that are current, that are available. Give us a sense of the decision-making process that you use in deciding on a milestone event in your life.
Have having conversation with yourself, clarify, chart down. Some people like to write it down. What is it you want to do when you grow up, quote unquote? Go on the internet, find out, Google, whatever. After you have a conversation with yourself and you have some kind of a vision, reach out for an expert, quote unquote, in the area of your interest. Case in point, I have an assistant in Austin that she works for me, a really bright girl out of college. She wants to someday, she's not yet, she's only 26, she someday wants to have like a nonprofit organization for pregnant young women, nobody wants them, in Austin, Texas, to have housing, to have taken care of. So she has a loose vision, but she knows right now she needs to learn a lot of things, which she does now as she evolves personally. And then clearly, she in the community, she will find out, she's very bright, she'll find out how does she go about it. Are they, you know, how you raise money, this and this and that. So here I go again. One needs to, if one has a vision, if one feels like they want to do something to make a difference in the world, to try to zero, to focus in small increments, having a conversation with oneself, thinking about it, clarifying. And then even if you're not ready to do it tomorrow, find out from others, from the community, from the internet, how it's done. And guess what? You might decide, I don't want to do it. Maybe something else. How lucky and fortunate those people are that can even think and they can go beyond just making a living and barely kind of feeding themselves. So that's what I encourage people. Have a dream, focus in, reach out, and you're okay the way you are. Not everybody wants to do it. Some people want simple life. They want to be gardening in their home. They don't want to work. They want to be a partner to somebody that can bring in the food in their day. Whatever, because as adults, we make choices.
Yes, we do make choices, but as we all know, at least in our own minds, some are disastrous, others are pure genius. So let's take a look at your life as an entrepreneur and a businesswoman, CEO and founder of a nonprofit called California Diversion Intervention Foundation. It looks to be involved with the court and probation departments based in Southern California. Also owner of a real estate management firm. Now, just explain your road to success.
Andy, number one, define success. Remember, I am not normal that way, or I'm in denial, whatever. There is no such concept of failure to me. No, I didn't have any apprehension about it, and it sounds terribly cocky, because we already had a general Miller Psychological Centers. I employed about 40 psychologists, psychiatrists, because it took two. Jerry, my husband, he was a marketing guy. He went to American Airlines, to the unions, Pac Bell, this and that. He brought them in, and I knew how to handpick therapists, how to, a diversion was a site because I was for profit Miller Psychological Center. And then there was an opportunity because so many people cannot afford it, and I was not trained. I'm trained as a clinician, clinical psychology, but I did not have personal experience with drug and alcohol, substance abuse. So we hired somebody that came out from the trenches, that he was on substance abuse most of his young life, and I put him in charge, and we opened up a diversion intervention foundation, and we approached the courts and probation departments, and they sent us people galore, and we had groups and individuals. So that was just, once you have a business, then what else can we do? It's like, look at Sears and Roebuck. I don't even know where they started, but clearly now they have glasses and they have travel agents. So I define myself among other little names, an entrepreneur, a visionary. Okay, maybe we can do this or maybe we can do that, but I must give credit to my husband, my partner, because you have to, the best place you have, the best merchandise or the best program, you have to be able to be seen. Marketing is essential. And he marketed my brand of care and all that of the clinics. So it really takes, it takes a village. Forgive me the pun.
You know, you described yourself as an entrepreneur. Don't you find that there are so many different ways in entrepreneurism can be interpreted than just starting a business?
You know, but I've never gave it much thought. Entrepreneur means to me, and I have to look it up, equals what? It's like having visions, starting up something. It's not necessarily business. Maybe a museum, maybe an art project. Entrepreneur to me means something novel, something new. So that's what it means to me. It doesn't mean it's in the eyes of the beholder. To me, it means, starting new things. Most people follow, but there are those of us, like I'm starting now Einstein. I belong to Plato Society, and here I have to, report on Einstein. And here, having a vision, being a rebel, not following, what you're supposed to, and looking to the universe, finding something novel, something that touches your soul, which is not the norm. So I don't know whether I answered your questions, but I don't want to label myself.
And I don't want to label you either, so maybe that's just the very reason why we've waited this long to tell the rest of your story. And despite your aversion to labels, here are a couple more. You were born in Romania 81 years ago.
You know what, and again, please forgive me. I'm not a bragger, but I'm not the norm. To me, I'm counterphobic, and we are a product of all our experiences. So as a little kid, that I was constrained. I couldn't ask any question. I had to be quiet so the Nazis wouldn't find us. Being a Jew, I was no right to live and all that kind of thing. So my latest book, if you checked me out, you see the title of it says it all. Don't Tell Me I Cannot Do It. Living in the Here and Now, or whatever it is. So I am a risk taker. I am just lucky to be alive. So to me, life is an amazing journey, and every opportunity, I just like, okay, what can I do? How can I play? So it will never be till the end of my life. There's new adventures by me going out there, having a conversation with you, being a guest speaker at the university, being scheduling for media, walking the Machu Picchu mountain, and next year I'm going to go to Tibet, Cuba. I'm just a citizen of the world. So to me, life is a journey to be enjoyed with adventure, with passion, and purpose. And to me, I'm part of I use it too often, but part of the Tikkun Olam, translation from Hebrew, part of repairing the world. I've seen so much suffering that to me, almost I have a mission. I am my brother, sister's keeper. I do take a stand, and I like to inspire, because there's a lot of tragedy out in the world, but there's a lot of joy too. So I am not the norm. I'm not the norm. I'm not bragging, Andy.
No, I understand. And that word you used, purpose, I think that says an awful lot about what every human being has to have a sense of purpose in life.
Really important, Andy, really important. And my next book coming out is about the longevity, the chronologically gifted. And there's centennial and supercentennial really coming up all over the world. And one of the ingredients of living well is purpose, is being, feeling that you make a difference. Family is important, but so is community. And Americans are very generous in volunteering and finding a voice, as lending a hand to those that are less fortunate than we are. So that to me, I call purpose. I inspire. You can do it. I uplift. I encourage. That to me is a purpose. Like, here I'm on this world for a reason. How come all those dead people around me that I saw for 4 years in a concentration camp, how come I'm so lucky to be still here? I'll be 82 in a few months. I cannot fathom it. My energy, I'm a little dynamo. They say I don't look past 60. It's a number. So, yeah, I don't know. I know a lot, and I know very little. I do not know. To me, purpose is to touch, to hug, to empower. That fills my soul.
I think that's a great note to close on for this week's show. There's so much more that we could have explored, and you can learn more about Erica and what it means to be chronologically gifted, to not age gracefully, but with gusto. Dr. Erica Miller, whose incredible, inspiring life has led her from a Nazi concentration camp during World War II to the Israeli Air Force, then America, where she raised her family while earning a PhD in clinical psychology, and then, of course, her amazing entrepreneurial career. A lesson I never anticipated, but full of material to last a lifetime. Erica, thank you.
You've been listening to the Smart New Income Next Gen Entrepreneur Podcast. You'll also find a ton more awesome material by visiting the website at smartnewincome.com.